Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. my name is Lamo. In a few minutes, Geshe-la will be coming through this door. I believe it'll be Geshe-gelik, not Geshe-sampo, and to give the Sunday morning teaching. If you've never been here before, you'll see everyone rise when he comes in, and Geshe-la will start prostrating toward the altar. If you feel uncomfortable doing so, please just remain standing. That's perfectly fine, but it's a practice we do, an antidote for pride. And then he'll sit down, and he'll welcome everyone to sit down. And then we'll say some prayers. If you have this gold book, I'll tell you which pages to go to. If you don't have one, but you have a white binder, then it's the first page with the list of prayers. And you'll do the front side, and then when we do the dedications, it'll be on the back side of that page, that same page. If you have cell phones, if you please, you know, turn the sound off, you're welcome, you know, to bring drinks in here. Geshe-la says that I know it's kind of rainy today, but there's a lot of merit and purification practice to walk around the stupa outside, that beautiful building out there. It's filled with many relics, Dharmakaya relics, which are primary relics, relics such as, you know, the bones, the relics of Shakyamuni Buddha, maybe. For example, if there was a piece of cloth from his robe or something like that, those are secondary relics. Dharmakaya relics are primary. So there's a lot of merit doing that. Also to spin the prayer wheels, there's one prayer wheel on Geshe-la's table there. So you'll see there's three coming in here, and then there's several going on the outside of the building. So that's very a lot of merit just to spin those. Let's see. If you have any questions for Geshe-la, there's some little slips of paper that are out in the lobby, and just fill it out and put it on the table. He welcomes them, and he, on Sundays usually he invites people to, you know, give comments, ask questions. And if so, if you'll please use the handheld mic, wait for that, and place it very close to your mouth, because so that the sound will pick up. We are streaming this class, and there are people watching, and they want to be part, you know, the classroom environment, the experience. Children are welcome to sit in the front here. Let's see if there's only one child. Okay. Anything else I'm missing? Oh, what's that? Bathroom, okay. She goes through that door to the left. The restrooms are over there, men's and women's. Okay, thank you. let's see. Okay. So while we're waiting for Geshe-la to come, I'm going to read the prayer list. Prayers for a happy rebirth. All those killed by natural and man-made disasters. For all those killed by others or by their own hands. Bill Barthel, Suzanne Diamandopoulos. Oh. Diamondopoulos, Grace Howard Halberstadt, Willa Kate McDowell, Robert James Nichols, Mabel Cameron, Jeremy Schiffler, Buster the Cat, Raven the Cat, Mommy and Baby Bunny, Job Search, Roseanne Verona, Travis Boone, Brian and Brandy, Joey Gooch, Joe Griffiths, Jim Kay, Bruce Miller, Sarai, Greg Weaver, and Joe Whitley. Prayers for health and well-being. Kabdi Lama Zopa Rinpoche, Venerable Thich Nhat Hanh, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, Venerable Lundug Tendron, Venerable Nawang Kando, Venerable Lobsang Kandro, Venerable Gyaltan Drokar, Venerable Turki Lama, Venerable Dechen Drokar. All those harmed by natural and man-made disasters. Jerry Anderson and family, Jorge Aurelio, Jim Barnes, Luce and Narcissus Barona, Narcissus Barona Sr., Bob. Susie Boehm, Yuki Burrows, family of Mabel Cameron. John Tassolo, Betty Chow, Heidi Cranford, family of Suzanne Diamondopoulos, Ted Domi, Tashi Doma, Ray, Ryan Edmonds, Mary Lou Flynn, Taylor Freeman, Mildred Gooch, Michelle Goslin, Tema Belson, Tracy House Thompson, family of Grace Halberstadt, Joanna Haman, Kay Hansen, Christina Harrison, Annie Hassel, Heidi Atticus, and Katerina, Larry Hogan, Frank Holt, Kenny Jackson, Buddy, Dallin Sue Johnson, Barry Judge, Florence Kaplan, Helen Kasanoff, Jonathan Kramer, Carol Lang, Shanti and Kurt Latimer, Mary Lojek, Ina Lovelace, Robin Lynn, R.M., Georgia McDonald and family, Wilbert Martin, Martin Massenberg, Susan McClure, Kathy McDonald and family, family of Kate Willa, Willa Kate McDonald, Alva Mahian family, Bruce Miller, Jason Miller, Colleen Mitchell and her baby, David Muller, Audrey Murphy, Stephanie Murphy, Evan Merlin family, Fran Nash, family and friends of Robert James Nichols, Jane Norton, Jessica Nunley, Murray Oliver, William Stover Oliver, Stanley Paluk, Jay Pandya, Anna Papard, Chick Palermo, Renee Reyna, Faye Renard, Ann Rivers, James Rowan, and Teresa Creighton, family of Jeremy Schiffler, Ariana Scott, Joanne Cease, Pooja Shaw, Emily Smith, Nancy Sorbet, Losam Toptem, Dion Washington, Jen, Drew, and Betty, Amy Weiss, Shea Wokowicki, Margaret Young, Dorje and Codra the Pigs, and Muffin the Cat. In the Gold Essential Buddhist Prayers book, turn to page 34, and we'll recite the mantra over the words daily prayers. It's the Shakyamuni Buddhist mantra if you are if you have the white binder. Taya ta om ne mune Maha Munaye Soha Taya Ta Om Mune Mune Maha Munaye Soha Taya Ta Maha Munaye Soha. Now let's read the four immeasurables on the same page, one time in English. May all sentient beings have happiness in the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the cause of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for any. I turn to page 37, and we'll chant the four measurable chanting version. They're in Tibetan. The white binder is the words by the music notes. San Chen Tam Che De Wa Dong De below, you see two mantras. So we'll chant Chen Rezig's mantra 8 times. He's a Buddha of great compassion. And then below that, Green Tara's mantra 7 times, deity of enlightened activity. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Okay, the children are welcome to go to their classes.
Good morning. Maybe we'll start with short meditations. Okay, short meditation. Silent meditation. So only 2 hours. I just tell you. Oh yeah, thank you very much. So please, would you mind to take one moment to introduce to yourself each other? Sorry to interrupt your wonderful conversation, but we have very limited time here. Oh, thank you very much. Just want to share a few words about meditation, okay? Meditations in Tibetan words called gom. Gom, so well, most of you already know that. I just want to share. If there's any new people here, so I just want to share this information about meditations. Gom means, meditation means, in Tibetan words called gom. Gom means making familiar. Familiar with something that we are not familiar with. So the purpose, purpose of meditation is to not just to feel some kind of, temporary relief. So ultimate goal, of meditation is to free ourselves from disturbing thought. Make sense? Free ourselves from disturbing thought. That's why, because of our thought, life is becoming more complicated. So, So basically the purpose of the meditation is to liberate ourselves from disturbing thought. Long run. So then if the that's the goal, according to Buddhism, that's the goal of meditation, is to liberate ourselves completely from disturbing thought. So, you cannot eliminate thought, there will be thought, no matter what you do, there will be thought, we start, we think. But it's very possible that you could minimize or reduce the amount of disturbing thought, or maybe eradicate from the root for good. That's the goal of meditation. So, so life is going to be much, much better off with less negative thought. Life is going to be much happier. And eventually, just pure. Just pure thought, that's all. You have thought, but only positive thought. Can you imagine that? Just positive thought. Then a lot of benefit for, there's a lot of health benefit. So, those who are here have strong interest into meditations. So one important thing is to remember the goal of meditation, so to eradicate, not minimize, There could be thousands of reasons, why we, think something negative or disturbing thought has been generated, it doesn't require much, so they are here about to explode all the time. Anger, jealousy, pride, arrogance, all of that. What we need more positive thinking people. Not necessarily more Buddhist, more Christian, more believer. We need more people with more positive thought. The world is going to be much, much better off. Everybody's thinking, everybody's happiness. Everybody's thinking about everybody's happiness. Then the world is going to be much, much better. So that's exactly what we need. We need more open-minded people, more positive thinking people. That's what we need. So then meditation plays very, very important role, how to minimize or reduce or free or liberate us from disturbing thought. That's gom meditation, top power, nimong, afflicted mind. Afflicted mind. If some of you are having difficulty to understand my English, then please raise your hand. So I'll ask somebody to pronounce, okay? Afflicted mind, in Sanskrit it's called klesha, in Tibetan it's called nimong. Minute it arises, it makes your mind unpleasant. All the way from president to all the newborn child, same, equally, equally makes their mind unpleasant, Monks, nuns, pops, everybody is like vulnerable for disturbing thought, very vulnerable to disturbing thought. So then enemy is within, it's not like something outside, enemy is within, according to Buddhism, so dhanana devi, nimotus, enemy is within. What is that? That is afflicted mind. That needs to be eliminated. So then once we start to see the disturbing thoughts are the real enemy, so then liberation is possible. Liberation is possible. Nirvana is possible. Everlasting vacations. Everlasting vacations. Wherever you go, you'll be happy wherever you go. Doesn't matter, like, different sections of the world, wherever you go, live in cave, material-wise, nothing. But mind is filled with joy. Mind is filled with joy. Tirtop shishidua, tirtop, tirtop, hearing about spiritualities or reading about, you know, spiritualities. The purpose of that, also goal for that, is to make your mind calm. More you read about spiritualities, it should make your mind calm. That's the goal. Not just to collect information. So, I just want to share the video, okay? Meditation means calm, means making familiar with, you know, something. So then, there are different types of meditation that you can do. You can do review meditations. That requires some kind of materials that you remember by heart. So then you can just, how do you say, not say from mouth, but, you know, just, how do you say, go over, no, but then you sit. You can sit hours and hours quite easily based on the size of the material. You sit there. You are not thinking of anger, you are not thinking of jealousy, you are thinking about materials, you know, that maybe a subject might be emptiness or might be, like, you know, stages of the path, you know, begin with the importance of, you know, the teachers, the precious human life, impermanent, karma, so on and so forth, you know, bodhicitta, like the lives, you know, step by step. They just sit there, you just go over, you know, the materials, then your mind is, you know, focus on that. That is, you know, good things. Good things. Oh. So that at the end, then you feel good. Oh. I did ask here at the center people to speak or maybe contribute to what is meditation, you know, is what it's for. So, and we did that, I think, last Sunday. Oh. Mike is complaining that I talk too much. Oh, yeah. Oh, it needs some company of the flowers. Oh. That's going to find. I see that. Oh, yeah. Then, but there's long battle. Long battle. It's not, you know, overnight. Because, you know, it's going to be, you know, it requires some effort. Huh? Happiness does not come from nothingness. No? It comes from something. No? It requires some effort. So therefore, I've been saying, you know, easiest thing, like, think something positive, not easiest thing, but, you know, it's all boils down on thinking something positive, something good, thinking something good. Very, very important, very, very important. So, you don't have to believe in anything. So you can think something good, something positive or something good. That's very, very important. Oh, I'm happy because I can see. I'm happy because I can hear well. You know, or there might be thousands of reasons why you are not happy. There might be thousands of reasons you can make your life miserable. Oh, there's thousands of ways you can make your life happier. It all depends on the thought. You know, thought comes down to thinking. So thinking is very important. Meditation means thinking. So if say, oh, meditation means not thinking, I'm not sure how you're going to free from anger by not thinking. That sounds almost impossible. Free yourself from anger, you have to think. You have to think about patience, not just think, and you have to apply. So that's how, you know, the practice has been done. That's how the practice has been done. We have to think. We have this marvelous brain, marvelous brain, capable to think. So, so there's the review meditations, then there's analytical meditations. So, you pick one specific topic, then you, you know, analyze why this life is so precious. No? Then you analyze. Oh. Then, you know, concentration meditations, so all of them, you know, review, analytical, concentrations, shargum, review meditations, jagum, analytical meditations, jogum, concentration meditations. What else? Probably there might be four, I don't remember, but you know, that's three that I remember. No, this is like just sitting. This is called sitting position. This is not meditation. It's not just sitting position. Anybody can sit. Monkey can sit. If you train them how to sit, they can sit. Sake of treat. No. Animal does all kinds of things for sake of treat. No, this is just sitting meditation. When you sit, then if you are thinking while you are walking, cleaning, doing chores, no, walking around, walking the lake, around the lake, walking the wood, bicycling, climbing rock. If you are thinking of something positive, even though it doesn't look like meditation, that is meditation. Every positive thinking is meditation. So why that will, how is it, we cannot think positive and negative simultaneously. Why? That's the nature. There are two different sides, different set of mind cannot arise simultaneously. Why? It's nature. You know? Cold and hot. Why they cannot exist together? It's the nature. You know? It's just nature. There's not much explanations. Therefore, when you think something positive, then there's no space for negative mind. So that is happiness. That is mental happiness. No? So same like satisfactions, all of that, you know, not less. We are not going to be satisfied doing stuff. No, collecting stuff, doing stuff, seeing stuff, smelling stuff. Testing. That's not how you will satisfy. If you think there's a way to satisfy, you don't have to do anything. You just think, then you'll be satisfied. So, I just want to share that with you. Okay, just want to share. You know, if you're here first time, interested in the meditations, I just want to share that with you. So then there's a number of meditations you can do. So please, after the class, you ask here, that's not much time. So there's 9-round breathing meditations. It's good to do 9-round breathing meditations. And I'm very much hoping that will release you from stress. So then after that 9-round meditation, you can do multiple times. Then after that, you can do some form of concentration meditations. Concentration meditation. You think. No, concentration meditations. We think one single object. We focus on one single object. According to ancient, philosophy, or maybe say teachings, when you concentrate, it makes your mind calm and peaceful. Sunday qi xi, Sunday concentration makes your mind calm and peaceful. Or you can just focus on the space. That means probably when you look up space, there's nothing. Or when you the nice clear sky, when you lay down the park, look up, you see something, but there's nothing. Like that. You can use that as object. Or you can use, you know, alphabet. Something like alphabet or color or image. You can use and concentrate. While you concentrate, it makes your mind calm and peaceful. That's why you concentrate. Could be flower, could be bird, could be not anything. Basically, you sit there, concentrate, and make your mind calm. why mind is not calm down, why there's so much going on, because there's so many thoughts. So many thoughts. It's like popping up like popcorn. Popcorn. The microwave. Pop, 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 pop. That's why mind is not calm. It's not someone else's mind, it's your mind. So you can use your breath, breathing, exhale, inhale, one. You count here, exhale, inhale, that's two. You can count seven times, take break, then count seven more times, take break. Then you can count seven more times, that's 21. You can do that, then eventually you can do 21 times in one session. Out, in. Out, in. Like that, 21 times. Then also we need to learn this concentration meditation teaches us how to pull all our mental attention into one object. That energy is very, very powerful, you know, rather than dividing them in like many, many small creeks, doesn't have much power. If you manage to pull all this together, so that's what I'm trying to, placing all our attentions onto one single object. Next 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and see, do you feel your mind's kind of calm, peaceful? So you're supposed to feel that, you know. So then it's good. So then you can continue to do that, you know. You use like different objects. So then you become familiar. Slowly, slowly you become familiar. Then you know. Then eventually, I hope it will become piece of cake. Hopefully, it will become piece of cake. You know? You know, so when the minute we wake up, we think. Even when we are about to go to bed, we are still thinking, you know, so the dream. Think. So most part of the dream, early part of the dream, the night divided into three sessions. Early part, middle part, the last part. So according to the, there's a book that's written about dreams. So according to that book, you know, first part of the dream is created by day-to-day like tendencies. Tendency. So the middle part of the dream, they say, is caused by some kind of spirit. Some kind of spirit. So I'm not sure how many people in America believe in the spirit. When you go to Asia, they talk all quite often about the spirit, you know, that is spirit, that this is spirit, that is spirit, all kind of different names. But there are within our human, you know, world, there are all kind of species. So you know how to say it, like species. That person. Say a little loud, please. Or that, you know. Many, many. Some of them we see, some of them we don't see. So we are used to see more. Before, we see very little, you know. Even the animal realms, we see very little. On the ground, we see very little. Under the ground, in the ocean, we see very little. Now we see more because of the technology, all of that. Maybe we will see more in the future, after 20 years, probably we'll see more. According to Buddhism, you know, there's like not just one like world, there's like multiple universe, and those universes like occupied by beings. So we may not have interacted, but doesn't mean they are not there. So even our, what we call Hotsambuli, it's called Hotsambuli, Northern World. No, within Northern World, there are some, like seven different types of celestial realms. We don't see them, you know, doesn't mean they are not there. They are there, you know, within here. So the human realm, we are not even only human realm, there's also three other different human realms. we never interact with them, doesn't mean they are not there. Oh. So we, maybe after 20 years, 50 years, 100, who knows, maybe probably we'll see more, who knows. So anyway, so my point, the middle part of the dream is caused by spirit, or spirit. Then the early part of the, early, the last, and that means now getting close to the morning, you know, like on the fact, their dream sometimes indicates something in the future, prophecy, you know. Then people do take note. You know. Could be sometimes just number, you know. I say September 29. It just means nothing. So people take note, and exactly something will happen. September 29. So no, it's not called September, it's called 9-29, something like that. 9-29. And then the 9 probably refers to September, 29 refers to the last, the end of the September, so then something happened or something like that. Not all the dreams, but you know, that dream sometimes indicate something in the future. So, I'm not sure why I'm talking about dreams. Maybe I'm still sleeping. So they're completely forgot why I'm talking about dreams. Okay, so okay. So we think, you know, we think before we go to bed, a minute we wake up, we think, do we think something positive? That's the question, do we think something positive? According to Buddhism, the minute you wake up, you think of a precious human life, you know, that's why you think precious human life. Oh, so lucky, I'm alive. I can see, I can hear, I can think something good, you know, I can enjoy weather and do something good. Doing something good for you or good for something good for others, that means all is like doing good for you. You know, doing good for someone else, that means doing good for you. You know? According to Mayana teaching. So so that's that. So now, here, two questions. So, and I've been encouraging people to put more questions. So now the question on the table is becoming like mice tail. Question on the table become like mice tail. Mice? Mouse? Sometimes they call mice or mouse? Oh, mouse. Mouse tail is beginning, it's kind of thick. It goes smaller, 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 smaller. Then it'll be now, in the beginning there's five questions, now it's become two, one, then it'll be, and the tip is like a little bit, then there's nothing. I mean, that's the best, you know, to interact. You know, you put questions, so then, you know, rather than basing on one book, most of the books kind of thick, you know, so then better to question. So this here, I'll read this first. I know, so please then, you know, contribute, okay? So don't just rely on my Mickey Mouse word. Please, you also contribute. People greatly benefit. Oh. I know it's wrong to kill, but I also know we want to end sufferings. So it is wrong to euthanize pets when they are suffering. These questions are so. Generally speaking, the America, the Western world is the heaven for, you know, animals. They've been treated very well. In third world countries, people have no time, you know, to spend so much time on pets because their life is so difficult. They can barely support their own life than, you know, someone else's life. You know, so it's like, so it doesn't mean we don't have cat and dog. We do have cat and dogs, but that belongs to everybody. And so some of my friends went to the monastery, so they see a lot of dogs. So they go to the restaurant, buy boiled egg, bags and bags of boiled egg, then they're feeding those dogs. So then when they come to house, there's like 20 dogs or 15 dogs follow them, like. And they are wondering, what do you call? What is their name? There's no name. There's no name. How is someone called Miss Pinky? So they so they name one dog Miss Pinky, Miss Pinky. So anyway, there's many dogs, there's no name. They're just called dog, it's okay, you know. So they're very kind of, they're like, you are looking from American perspective, but life over there's different, you know. So you think, or you think that every dog has name, then there's no name. So fortunately, one dog can name Miss Pinky. So anyway, so so this question is very difficult. So everybody needs to contribute, you know. So I'm not in the position to give you answers, what to do, what not to do. You know? So people do ask me these questions. And eventually I call my teacher, I ask him, of course, what is he going to say? Don't kill. That's based on Buddhist teachings. Practically, it's much more complicated than that in the West, practically. You know? So sometimes it's become a problem between the couples, between friends, you know, so they are about to separate because of these decisions about their dog, what to do. This is quite big things, you know, not small things. You can't just say, oh, do this, do that. You know, so I'm not in the position at all to say what to do. Whatever you do, to make sure that you don't feel regret. So now the main question here, I know this is wrong to kill, but I also know we want to end the suffering. So now the death part, ending suffering. There's physical suffering, there's mental suffering. On the other hand, there's what you call mercy killing, mercy killing. It gets kind of complicated, so I don't have answer, unfortunately. I'm not going to say, you know, like, and I do have, you know, I used to have cat, called Ningji, I named Compassion, so Ningji. Such a wonderful cat, so was, from New Orleans. So one of my friends, they had those two cats, Ninja. So that boy asked me to name his cat. So, and I said, call Compassion. And he called me. Then I think after 2 days, his mother called me, Gisela, no Compassion. Oh, she didn't like the name. Somehow the cat locked her inside the door, or maybe something, I don't know what. So something happened, I don't know what happened. She said, like, locked in the bathroom or somewhere there. So anyway, then when the hurricane hit, so Ninja then came to North Carolina, stayed with me. Both cats came to my house, into like one of our member house. I'm living with them. So we took care of that. The Ninja was very, like, the Ninja has this, like, personality, is very charming. And very, like to meet people. And another cat is kind of like shy and always sit in the room or maybe close to the door, hard to see. Then I become attached. My mind started clinking on Ninja. Tighter and tighter. Not able to let it go. So then finally I asked Steve, please would you mind to ask the boy if I can keep Ninja? Then he said, okay, Gisela wants to keep, so no, he's in somewhere in California, so he says, okay. So then I kept Ninja. Then, you know, of course, eventually, everybody will die. That's the fact. It's not there's something kind of depression, you know, that's the That's a reality. So that means we become so close. I pick her up every single day 4 or 5 times, and also I usually like to touch her nose. It's kind of wet and cold. I always touch here, pick it up here. So I learned how to pick it up. I just put my hand underneath her belly. That's how I pick it up. And she knows what's going to happen. She grew up. I'm just touching it a couple of times. So, and she's big. And people thought she's pregnant. It's not usually, she's not pregnant. She's pregnant with the food. It's quite a kind of role. Sorry, this is not part of the teaching. So, because it's about urination, so I just want to share my experience. You know? So then, you know, I have in my room, I have altar. I thought, of course, I believe in creating merit. I thought maybe I should let Ninja come round, go around the altar, then all the holy objects. In the beginning, I just trick her, you know, with a treat. Then she follows. After that, no treat. She comes. She goes one round, no problem. So she follows me. Second round, then third round, then she does all kinds of things. No, then she's really interesting. So then she looks for me. So whenever I'm in the altar room, she follows there. So one time, one of the members, you know, Julie, she came from Kentucky to my house. She stayed there. In the morning, she's going around the altar room. She felt that somebody's following her. She looked at Ninja. Whoever goes around, Ninja will come around, one round, no problem. Then after that, she got very sick. I was in California leading some retreat. And Gishi Sambuko, oh, now Ninja is dying. So she died naturally in my house. Even though, you know, she is very weak. And Gishi Sambuko said that Ninja was felt in her bathroom, barely breathing, the downstairs. So they stair to my altar room, and I asked Gishamba to play some, you know, like some prayers in the CD nearest to her. And he did that, and he went somewhere. Somehow, Ninja wake up, stand up from the bathroom, go to all the steps, went to the altar room. Spent most of the time there, I was there, so. Then Steve probably came, she came, looked, that's barely breathing. The head is looking towards the window, then ultra's here. Then when Gishi Sambuko came, somehow she, how is it, turned around, then looking towards ultra, and Gishi Sambuko says, it's hard to believe, almost like her hand is like this. Pass away. See? So, animals do die naturally, So now the Indian suffering, so we need to talk. Is this really Indian suffering, or is that it's too painful to me to watch? It's more for me, it's more for the animals. So, I'm not saying what you should do. I'm not saying at all. So no, this is my experience. So my cats died naturally. Both of them died naturally. One of them, for the center, got me first time, so they feel like I will be homesick. So they got me little cat. So she died chasing bird on the tree, fell down. So, now, you know, in Switzerland, Europe, it's not for animal. People voluntarily euthanize. Why is it? Euthanize? In Switzerland, in Europe, Switzerland. Right now, my brother, his wife, she decided to euthanize. And my brother's going through a lot of pain. You know? So, I'm not sure what kind of mindset. And there's nothing me to say, you know. So they talk probably last whole year, and you know, finally she decided. So it's going to happen in the May, you know, in the May. So probably the organization will do that. What do you call it? euthanize people. So, and I did not say what to do, so I just shared my ideas, you know, it's final decisions up to them. So I'm not in the position, oh, this is right, this is wrong. Practically, I have no idea what's going on in people's minds. So you can say something based on the teaching. You can say easily, say, oh, don't do this, 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 blah, 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 blah. Practically, it's not that simple. So, this is not the first time people ask me this multiple times. And I always tell them, make sure that you don't regret whatever decision you take. And you take full responsibility and you don't regret later on. So, is it wrong to euthanize pet when they are suffering? So, according to teachings, killing is not advisable. Taking life is not advisable. That's clear. According to my personal experience being in America 17 years, pet is a very important part of the people's life. Practically, it's very complicated, so I really don't know, like, I have one, what I will do, so that I will make decisions, because it's my own decisions. And, you know, so, it's very hard, so. Stephanie, you know, the woman, she has German Shepherd, big dog. The dog was paralyzed, and, you know, like, she also died naturally. You know, every morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, I look, you know, like Ripley, her name is Ripley, look, and she like goes under the bush, and bush probably she's prepared to die, but then I go under the bush, then I take her out, it's kind of heavy, she's big. And I bring her, you know, in the middle of the yard, and I let her sit there, you know, so then I go back, and it happens, you know, then she did die naturally, so. These are the experience, no, not just in the teaching, these are the real experience. So it's up to individuals. So that's my opinion. So anybody wants to contribute, please? Yeah. Oh.
I think, yeah, this is a question that really comes up, as Gus was saying, in the West, right, because we have so many pets, and our pets become attached to us, you know, we become attached to them. If you have them long enough, you're going to have to face that situation, right? I mean, they're like everything else, they're impermanent, and they're going to die. We've had two. My wife and I really had some conversations about what to do, right? We eventually had them put down. Very, very difficult to do. My thinking was this, you know, it's like Geshe-la has always taught, you know, the prayer that we say is that may all beings have a long life. But he also adds a happy life, right? We don't want a long suffering life. So I think our intent and our motivation means everything. If our intent and our motivation is that this being doesn't suffer, then maybe it's okay, but I really don't know. My attitude is that if there's a hit, I'll take the hit. You know, that's my attitude about it. I'll take the hit. Because I don't want to see the animal suffer. I had one dog, we all had big dogs, hip dysplasia and dementia. I mean, the dog was suffering. You'd find the dog standing in the bathroom, in the bathtub, totally spaced out. You know? To see that, it breaks your heart. You know? And to know that animal is suffering. So I think, again, you know, it's like intent and motivation is everything. And then What happens as a result of that? I don't know. That animal is in my life because of karma, right? My karma, that animal's karma, and I always want to do the best for that animal. And so that's attitude. Yeah, I don't know if there's an answer that satisfies. I really don't know.
I think for me, we live in a world of samsara, so it's not just good and bad. For me, we have to make choices that are necessary. If a terrorist were to walk through the door right now, and you could see that he was strapped with a bomb, and somebody could take him out, would we do it? Yes. But if we call that good, then we've crossed the line. We still have to call it bad. We still have to respect that precious human life, and we're sorry that we had to do that, but we have to do it. So to me, the question is, holding the goal up that killing is always bad, but yet sometimes we have to. We have to defend ourselves. We have to care for our loved ones, relieve their suffering, our pets. It's the world we live in, and we don't want it to be that way, but sometimes it's necessary. But for me, as long as we can say it's still bad, even though it's necessary, that helps me to keep priorities in check.
Just go on, one second. So can I say one word? Yeah, if you decided, you know, to euthanize your pet, so what gentleman said here, it is bad. It's not something good, but it's necessary. It's bad. So I think more discussion will help, because we are all have, this marvelous brain we can think. So now, this is very interesting. Like, if you say, okay, it's bad, so then please make sure that bad, as I said, that feeling of bad feeling, make sure that doesn't make your life miserable. So you do something, then so all of us know there's way we make our life miserable. We think something, even like eating cheesecakes. Not has to be something like taking lives, It makes your life miserable. I shouldn't have eaten that. Why am I eating the blah, 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 the like that, So, am I right? Eating sweet, how many people make their life miserable by eating sweet? It's not something that's kind of sweet, that's good. But all kinds of thinking. But, according to Buddhism, so that's why it's very important, that's called purification practice. Feeling bad doesn't have to be there all the time. It can be purified. That's why I'm saying taking full responsibility, whatever necessary, then you do. Make sure you don't regret, but regret is good. Regretting something negative is good, is positive. So that's probably a mistake. I'm sorry, there are mistakes. When you regret, it kind of purifies too. So that feeling can be purified, You think something negative out of positive mind, then you do something positive, and the end, it purifies. Otherwise, as Javime said, samsara, there's like existence, our existence. There's no perfections. Perfection, according to Buddhism, is nirvana. There's a profession. Here, there's no profession. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody. Everybody has problems. Everybody. No matter how you look, what kind of title you possess, what kind of education you have, how much money you have, everybody has problems. From president to newborn child, everybody has a problem. Everybody. So according to Buddhism, that's the foundation for universal compassion. Everybody has problems. all kinds of problems. So, if you think, I'm not suggesting you, if you, according to judgment, no statement, if you think it's bad, what do? You regret, then you purify. Somebody's dying. Somebody's dying because of our clothes, the food that we eat is causing somebody's life. Without that, can't survive. We can't survive. We cannot survive. Somebody's paying their life, or whether it's like tiny insect or animals, somebody's paying, like. So, may all sentient beings have happiness, cause happiness. There's a reason why you wish them happiness, because there's a reason, no? Practically, there's so much we can do. As an individual person, there's so much we can do. The world has all kinds of problems. Some part of the world, there's not enough to eat. According to Buddhism, everything's happening, like decisions and all of that, has different cause. So not, it's hard to like, so my point here, no matter what you do, please don't torture yourself. Don't torture yourself again and again and again. Better to purify. Stoop outside there, we built here, going one round is purifies. Just going around, purifies. There are so many ways to purify. So example they use in the book, piece of aluminium. If it's like, how you say? If it's like one piece, it will sink. If you make it flat, same way it won't sink. What is that? What then? If you purify, it's being like, you don't sink with that. You flow. If you don't purify, you will sink. Then, not just sometimes sing, or maybe you'll sing deep. So, purify. This is very, very important to purify, Clean. Clean. Sorry, now it's getting away from the flower. That's why it's complaining. Yeah, so that's all I'm going to say.
So, I just went through this myself a couple of months ago with our little cat who'd been with us about 10 years. He was very sick with kidney failure, and the veterinarian had said, you really don't want to let him die of this because it's very traumatic for them. And I was having a really hard time, especially thinking if he had a difficult death, his chances of having a more beneficial rebirth would be, pretty bad. And this is one of those things that over 18 years I've easily advised other people, don't euthanize your animal, And it's a lot harder when it's the cat that I, really love. And I talked to Stephanie, and Geshla very kindly also helped me remember, and he didn't say do this or do that. But I also remembered that Venerable Rubina, this question came up once when she was visiting, and she said, you don't have the wisdom to know what's more beneficial for this animal. Maybe having that painful death will, purify that animal's karma so that they don't have to suffer even worse in another time. As it happened, he recovered, went from the most, from the worst part, had a couple more months of a very happy life, and then slipped off on his own. So I didn't actually have to face that right in the moment thing. But I'm very glad that, for me, the action that I think ultimately I have no regret for is that I didn't choose to euthanize him. But it was very difficult when it's actually me. But the big thing, I think, for me in all of that was we don't want to, we want to minimize the suffering, and I'm not at a point where I have the wisdom to know which is the best action, and so I have to take the advice of my teachers who say, ultimately, killing, be careful. that's all.
I've had two old cats that have long since passed away, and I, you know, being in the practice, I really suffered on how to deal with it. The first cat made it easy on me because he decided to just stop eating one day, and then he got so lovable, he just wanted to sit with us, so we loved him until he died, and it just made it easy. The second one was not the easy one. He really suffered. He couldn't eat his food without throwing up. He couldn't walk without things coming out of him in all orifices. So he was really struggling in pain, and he didn't want anybody to touch him. And he lingered. I tried so long to let it go and let it go and let it go to a point that he just was laying there and just, he kept trying. He wanted to live, it seemed like, but he just was in so much pain. And I took the bad karma to euthanize him because he just was, to me, and living in that situation, I wouldn't want to live in that situation. And so that's where I just chose to take the bad karma and euthanize the cat. And he laid on my lap when he did it, and the kitty was happy. So I made him have a nice, happy ending. So he was in my lap. I was doing mantras, and I did everything I could to make it be a peaceful transition. So I know we should be careful with the killing and probably shouldn't do it, but I think it really depends on the situation. So, and that's what you got to work with.
I actually have a karma question. It's kind of subtle, but... So she said she would take the karma, but she's not actually the one who killed the pet. The veterinarian is the one who killed the pet.
In the Discovering Buddhism class, things that are considered non-virtuous, it's even worse for a person if they make somebody else or get somebody else to do it. Like, if you go and kill somebody, you're going to suffer that karma. But if you actually bring somebody else into it and make them go do some killing, it's even worse on you as well.
Hello. And so I just, my own experience with it is, we had a dog when I was growing up, and you know, we always tried to treat her the best we could and everything, best veterinary care we could. She got to a point where she was old and she was suffering a lot, to the point where she was, you know, panting, and it sounded like it was very hard for her to breathe. And you know, with that kind of suffering, we did decide to have her euthanized. But I mean, this is just my opinion. I don't know what's necessarily right or wrong, but I think it does, like a lot of people said, depend on your motivation. You know, perhaps, and I could be way off base, but perhaps the point of the teaching is that, you know, we don't want to kill others because we don't want to bring upon suffering or end their life or anything like that. But if, you know, if our motivation for the killing is to end suffering, you know, perhaps it's not something that's going to bring about bad karma because you're doing it for a good purpose and to end suffering. Like I said, I don't know one way or another if I'm right or wrong, but I just feel like, I really feel pretty strongly like it depends on your motivation and if you're causing a positive or negative outcome. So,
Geshe.
This whole subject of taking the lives of pets and stuff, that, you know, Geshe-la's situation with his brother, I mean, it really is getting down to people now. whether or not we euthanize people, take them off ventilators if they're brain dead, and all of that kind of stuff. And I will say this, and this is, I'm not criticizing anybody's decisions about whether to euthanize or not to euthanize, based on our perception of compassion. This is the most compassionate thing to do, from my opinion. But I'm quoting, and I think we all have this experience, we have an enormous capacity for self-deception. Like, who is suffering the most here? Me or the animal, for example? Me or the patient? I was a medical director in a nursing home for co-medical director, I should say. This is about 30 years ago, and I was doing a geriatric fellowship, and I remember seeing people in there who were totally demented, incontinent of urine and feces, contracted. This is before you would get thrown in, you'd be sued for this, but the nurses never moved these people, so they were contracted, like, knees up to their chest, arms, you couldn't get their hands open. They couldn't think. And they would get pneumonia, and they would call me and say, okay, what do you want to do? And I could give them an antibiotic and save their lives. Or I could let them go. And so that decision came up every day. You know, do we play God and jump in and do it, or do we let them go? And what's the most compassionate thing to do? And I asked Lama Zopa Rinpoche. I said, I don't have an answer for this because I'm trying to do the right thing here. And he gave me some practices to do, because there's not always a right, yes and no, right and wrong. It's every situation has to be taken on its own merit. So it's a very, very touchy, but I do think we have to at least be honest with ourselves about who we're doing this for. I'm just saying, something to think about.
Would it make a difference in your decision if a person like that had a living will that said, if I get to this point, I don't want to live?
It, for me personally, it would definitely make a difference based on the person's will. I mean, I still practice medicine, and I pay attention to people's wishes in that situation. But it's there's still the karma as the provider to make the decision. The final decision is not. It should probably be the living will, so I can abide by that, and I would. I wouldn't, keep somebody alive against their wishes in that situation.
And I think we're talking a lot about animals, but it's a little different with people, because it's a two-way conversation with people. It's not just with an animal where somebody's making a decision for the animal and the animal can't say anything. But I'm in my 40s, and I think a lot about death, and I'm not scared of dying, but I'm scared of what it will be like for people around me, for people that I love, and the whole suffering. I'm not worried about me suffering, but I don't want my children and my husband and my family to go through the suffering of seeing me reduced to what the doctor was describing. So I personally would write down, and I haven't yet, but I think I will, that if I get to the point where I'm in that condition, I would want to end my own suffering, or not my own suffering, but suffering for the people that I love, and just die sooner, because I will die anyway.
The situation nowadays, though, in places like Oregon and some other states, the Geshe-la may not be aware of this, but the physicians can actually give lethal injections to kill people. Just to, that's happening more and more around the world, and in different states have legalized that. So it's getting pretty, the ethical questions about what is the compassionate thing to do, it really depends on your, a lot on your worldview. You know, we, one person mentioned a moment ago, well, I don't know what the future life of this animal is going to be like. Maybe they're going to the, like the worst hell imaginable and suffer there for eons. And they're sitting here with kidney failure. That's nothing compared to the suffering of their future. We can't see that. We don't have the wisdom to look into the future and see that. So it's very tricky business. Very tricky business. If your worldview is that this is the only life and this is it and I don't want to suffer anymore, I'm out of here, that gives you a whole different choice, a whole different set of options, and people are going to choose from that worldview. I tend to think most people have that worldview, actually, in this country. So it's, you know, it really depends on so many factors.
I was going to say that I've had a few cats, one cat die within the last year and a half, and an elderly cat now. And I don't have to decide anything about the current cat now. However, I look at it so differently. I think you and I, the cat, and I have been together in existence somehow, you know, mother, I've been your mother, you've been my mother, whatever. And we've done this dance before, and now it's my turn to take care of you. And it just changes my, it gives me more to think about. It doesn't necessarily mean I would decide one thing or the other, but I like to think that I have known this being in a different form.
If you've had parents go through assisted living and then, you know, get to the end of the life, the medical profession today has a form of euthanasia that, you know, it's really, they don't call it that, but ultimately, they'll give your parent morphine and to reduce the suffering, and ultimately, they'll just pass because they won't be able to breathe. And everyone does this today, but they don't talk about it. It's legal here in North Carolina and I think pretty much every other state, and that's the way they do it.
Feel that doing something positive, that's very important, no? So it's important when you go to bed, important to go to sleep with a positive thought, then whole sleep becomes something positive. Similarly, you know, if that somebody decided that, so make sure that moment is not like 50-50 or make all kinds of mix up. There has to be very clear that, you know, think something positive. So then hard to say. You can like very person who donated this floor here, they're sitting here. She comes here, rarely comes here. One of my friends, she donated all the floor. And her brother probably shipped this floor. But then anyway, she paid for all the floors. And basically, she took her life. So then her friend is devastated. So then I told, we can't judge. People based on what we see. We can't judge. Because, you know, human strife is hidden. Human strife. Tiger strife is very visible, everybody can see. Human strife, they're seeing thousands of mochilas. You know, the tiger strife is very visible. Human strife, that means you can't judge, you can see the inside, you can see. Therefore, you can judge based on what it appears to you. So, and that's what I told her. You know, you can't judge your friend based on what happened. You can't judge. You don't know. don't know how to say. So anyway, so more discussions. You know, thank you very much for each one of you who contributed. So that's good. So big relief for me because a lot of people talk, not just me talk. And thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you very much for each one of your contributions. And I'm sure that people, you know, benefited him from different experience. So it's not just somebody writing a book, somebody just reading books. Not like, it's much, much different. So thank you very much and have a nice weekend. Yeah.
Okay, in the Essential Buddhist Prayers book, turn to page 246. We'll read the dedication prayer from Master Shantideva Bodhikaryavatara. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be free from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. Om tare tu tare tu re so ha. 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 Om tare tu tare tu re so ha.